This is Mike Corey from ESPN, and you're listening to the Sports Objective Podcast, the unofficial podcast of the Pirates.
Welcome into the Sports Objective. We talk sports, but sometimes we actually go a little bit out of the realm there, but we're going to maybe talk some hockey too later on. My dear friend, and we finally get a chance to face-to-face. We've been talking together for a year, and Shepherd, the lead singer of Trial by Fire, the tribute to Journey. Ernie, man, thank you so much for coming on tonight.
Oh, it's my pleasure, David. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. We got a big show coming up on Friday in Greenville.
Saturday.
I think you have another show, and you have another show on Friday.
Yeah, I'm across the state in the mountains on Friday, and then we're going to make the trek across the state to the great east coast of North Carolina, Greenville, home of the Pirates.
That's
right. So we're very excited to be there.
Yeah, we invited Coach Houston, and he's a huge Journey fan. He's going to be out of town because of Easter weekend,
You're breaking my heart, David. That's the only reason why I was doing this show, is so I could finally meet Coach Houston.
Well, we're gonna make that happen. I tell you what,
I hope so.
Every practice, honestly, Ernie, every practice they have and every game, there's at least one Journey song.
I love it. He's a huge fan.
So Coach Houston, we'll arrange it where you can meet Ernie and the band, and we'll have them down at some point again. Maybe before I was thinking it would be good. Like a tailgate show we could have with you guys, but we'll see if we can make that happen.
We will bend rules to make that happen, my friend.
No doubt.
We'll bend some rules, make it happen, you know.
No doubt. Yes. Let's talk about the show. It's gonna be on Saturday night. We'll talk about Trial by Fire. We'll talk about Journey hockey, the life, whatever people want to talk about. You can actually, if you have questions for Ernie tonight, you can put those in obviously in the comments for Facebook.
I would love that. I would love some questions.
Twitter, no doubt. So we'll do that for you. But let's talk about the show coming up on Saturday night. I'm so excited for you guys. First time ever at the State Theater. The acoustics are amazing in there. Mark Thompson, they did a phenomenal job. Ernie, you and I are both history guys, and it goes all the way back to 1914. But that venue used to be a movie theater, and it sat dormant for 20 years, from like 1998 to 2000.
That's crazy.
Yeah, just sitting there. And Mark Thompson and company did an excellent job. The sound system is worth a lot of money. I don't want to, Mark told me in confidence, so I don't want to say how much. I'll tell you, Ernie, off the air. But a lot, let's just say a lot of money, more than I'll ever make in my lifetime. maybe not that much, but it was a lot. And
I'm telling you, people are going to get a Journey show if they come see it. If they miss it, they're going to be sad. They're going to be sad because acoustics, a great sound system, and a band that just loves to tear it up. That's a winning combination. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
Let's talk about your drummer. Unfortunately, we got the news a few days ago that he's leaving the band. But you've got one of the best drummers. And then you've got another one coming in we can talk about too.
Yeah. I would like that.
Talk about both. But let's talk about Mark. I mean, unfortunately, he's leaving the band. I know for personal reasons, not because of, you know, when you hear about a rock band, Ernie, it's such a cliche for guys not to get along and everything, but it looks like when you guys are performing, all you guys really get along, and it's not about disagreements in the band.
So true. Tony is our current drummer who's leaving. Tony Mallard.
Sorry, Tony.
Mark, I think, is the guy who owns the State Theater. I think that's
who it is.
Tony took over for our last drummer, who I thought was the greatest drummer ever, Mr. Adam Satterwhite. And when Adam told me he had to leave because he got a promotion and was having a fourth baby and his young children, all under 11 years old, asked, "Where was daddy on the weekends?" I said, "Adam, you need to leave this band immediately and be home with those children." And he recommended Tony. And I was like, "Oh, there's just no way this guy's going to be any good compared to Adam." And then Tony started playing drums. And I was like, "Oh my God. I didn't think there could be better than Adam." And I don't even feel comfortable saying better than Adam, but better in a different way. You know, he brought a different life to the thing, and we had him for about 6 months now. And Tony and his wife have decided to adopt their granddaughter.
Oh.
And Tony's job is becoming very more intense in June. So between bringing his wife and baby, new baby, on the road and being around for that new job, something had to give. And I always believe that family comes first, and the band is a family. But who am I to say, no, don't live your life the way you need to? I need you to play drums. You know, the first thing any good man would say would be, thank you for your time with us, and the door is open, and you're still part of the family, but go do what you got to do. And he's doing what's best for his wife and for his household and for his granddaughter. And that's a wonderful thing.
No question. We respect him even more that now he's a great behind the drums, but obviously a great guy to do that, because I know how much he loves it. You can look at him on the stage and tell how much.
I was just going to say that if he only knew how much he loves playing, it's such a sacrifice for him to step away. And he loves the music we do. It's so obvious to see. I've never seen a drummer smile so much. And so it's a tremendous loss for us. But when you love people like their family, you've got to like take a step back and see what's best for them. If you really love somebody, you want the very best for them. And if juggling being in Black Mountain on Friday and then on the East Coast in North Carolina, or maybe Virginia, or maybe Ohio, or maybe, you know, Tennessee, sometimes that just is it's just not possible when you have people who need you. And so the funny thing is they look to me like they're letting me down. And I have to say, in essence, let them off the hook and say, no, you're not letting me down. You're doing the right thing. You're doing what's best for your family. I get it. You've got to do what's best for your family. And I got to do what's best for my family. And so what I did was I did some research, and I found another Journey tribute band that existed 10 years ago called Frontiers. Yeah. And my keyboard player is friends with this gentleman. His name is Chris Castalda. And he was in a Journey tribute band for 10 years. He knows these songs. He loves these songs. And he's eager to take over for Tony. And so as somebody moves on to another part of their life that is more important than music, as much of a struggle as that is for Tony, it is a struggle. But he knows what's important, his family. Chris now has a chance to get back to what he loves doing, playing Journey with a band that loves to jam out and have a great time. So guess what's going to happen? We're going to open a new chapter, and it's going to be a lot of fun. And if Chris needs a day off, I'll call Tony first.
There you go. You got somebody on the bench, so right?
I got somebody on the bench. There's a good sports metaphor right there. We got somebody on the bench.
When you're like saying that, yeah, you know I'm a music nerd as well as sports, mm-hmm. and we're blending the two tonight. If you're just joining us, Ernie Shepherd from Trial by Fire, the tribute to Journey Saturday night at the State Theater. So excited to have you guys come. And definitely when ECU plays, we're always hearing Don't Stop Believing, a whole bunch of the great songs. And I know that there's going to be, in fact, you know, I'm even a fan of the Steve Perry solo stuff. I love the
Speed Pump. Me too. Oh, my God.
And I know that hopefully I'm not doing a spoiler, but one of my favorite songs growing up, 1984, I can just go back in time to that time machine around the pool, and every station was playing Steve Perry, Oh Sherry. And I know that the YouTube concert you guys did a couple years ago was fantastic. Watched it a few weeks ago, didn't have my kids. I was a bachelor that night, put it on. I'm sitting on the couch. I'm going, this guy is incredible. I'd already heard your voice.
Yeah.
The band, not only the one thing I was telling a friend of mine earlier today is that, you know, there's, and no offense to other bands, but, and I'm not talking about anybody that, in general speaking, there's a good singer. There's a few good players. There might be some okay guys. And there's sometimes there are guys like, why in the world are they in a band?
There's weak links and strong links in every all of these bands. Yes.
But you guys are really tight. Like I'm a music nerd and concert nerd. And when I watched that, I was, you know, I'm more, maybe more critical of bands than I should be because I can't play.
And I'm the same way. I'm the same way. Like people are like, what bands do you like? And I'm like, I don't like any band. I think they're all terrible. And they're like, really? And I'm like, yeah, mine included. I'm so bad. I'm so like a critic that like, if you're just a little off, I'm people like, what band should you see? I'm like, you should get in a time machine and go see Journey in 1981. If you can do that, that's great. That's what you need to see. But if you can't get a time machine and maybe you have a couple of drinks, we might be a good substitute. But that's me being tough, because like I get on stage and I watch these four guys and they are as I can get in trouble for this, but I think they're as good as Journey. And so like, you know, when you talk about the weak link, I'm thinking it's me. Like, so like when I get behind that microphone, I'm giving it all I got because I got to keep up with these guys. I mean, just the intro of Oh Sherry, that keyboard part is perfect.
Yes.
Don McRae took the time to program that sound 100% perfect. People accuse us of having a recording intro to that because it's so perfect. And I'm like, I used to interrupt him in the middle of it. I'd go over and like grab his hands and say, stop playing. I want to show people it's real. And it's real. It's 100% real. And it's 100% the sound that the keyboard player who recorded Oh Sherry in the studio with Steve used. Now, if you heard the 1986 Raised on Radio tour, Jonathan Cain played Oh Sherry, and that sound is wrong. It's 100% wrong. It's terrible. The guitar is wrong. You know, even Steve sounds terrible singing Oh Sherry with Journey on the Raised on Radio tour. And when we do it, we're trying to do that record. We're trying to do that Street Talk record or that video where Steve's playing the broom, you know. That's what we're trying to do. We want people to go back in their memories and see what they know, what they remember, not some crazy weird version of it. So when Don played that intro for me the first time, I was like, I've got to sing this right. Because no, that's perfect. Oh, no pressure. Oh my God. That's every show, David. That's every show. No pressure. Oh, what are you going to do now? I'm going to go sing the music of Steve Perry for 2.5 hours. No pressure. Yeah.
I told you I won't even sing Steve Perry in the shower, and you're going on stage night after night. By the way, I want to get to we'll get to my how I became a Journey fan in a little bit. I don't want to be about.
Oh, I love it! I love to hear it. I love to hear it.
Yeah, that's we'll great. Do that in a minute. But we have a question for you from Facebook. Ooh. If you want to chime in tonight, YouTube, and obviously on Facebook as well. And a dear friend of mine, he's coming to the show. He wants to meet you. I know.
Oh, I'd love to meet him. That'd be great.
Richard Osberg. Richard said, Ernie, how many times have you seen Journey? Have you ever met the members of Journey?
I have never met Journey. I've never been the kind of person that seeked out famous people. I really feel like famous people don't want to meet us fans. You know, like they're like, oh, another one of the, you know, so like out of respect and love for them, I didn't want to be that guy that like tried to meet them. Like, what do you, you know, I'm your biggest fan. I mean, it never goes off. So like to me, like if it would casually, like someday, like I bump into Steve Perry and we have coffee, that'd be great. But to pay for it and try and force it, it just never seemed right to me. I just rather admire. They say the worst thing you can do is meet your heroes, you know, because like what if they don't live up to it, you know? But I have seen Journey. I've seen Steve Perry twice.
Wow.
Steve Perry with the Raised on Radio tour. In 1986, I begged my mom to let me go to see the Frontiers tour in 83, but she was like, what? Like, you're too young for that. You can't go to that, you know? And so finally, 86 rolled around, and I convinced my girlfriend at the time that her mom could take us and drop us off, and we went to Worcester, Massachusetts to see Raised on Radio at the Worcester Centrum, and it was golden. It was beautiful. Steve in all his glory, the red tuxedo tails. I sang along at top volume the whole night. I couldn't help it. It was great. And then in 1994, Steve did a solo record called For the Love of Strange Medicine.
Yeah.
And I got to see him in the Orpheum Theater in downtown Boston. And the Orpheum Theater is basically like the size of the State Theater. Mm. So imagine seeing Steve Perry at the State Theater. You know, it was very intimate. There was not a bad seat in the house. And he played for a good 2.5 hours. It was wonderful. And the next time I was going to see them was with the Trial by Fire tour, but that tour never happened. And that's the reason why I chose that name for the band, because I wanted to be the tour that never happened. I wanted to pick up the gauntlet for Steve and take the band out on tour and do that tour. And that's kind of like the original vision of the band. So I wish I could see Steve sing more, but he's not singing anymore. He's he's recording music, but he's not performing live. I hope one day he'll stop that. And just, I mean, the guy could sing the phone book in a lower octave and we'd all go see it, wouldn't we? I mean, I'd be there. I know I'd be there. So
hopefully you
so
and I
twice. Yeah, we can go together. That'd be great. But the answer to the question is twice, and it's not enough. I wish I could have gotten to see the Escape tour, but I was only like 10. And then the Frontiers tour, I was like 12. So I finally, in 86, I got a chance to go. And I was hoping there was going to be many more. But I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, I've seen them twice, but it was during the Steve Aggeri.
Oh, wait a minute. See, now I feel bad because I saw the Steve Aggeri tour too. My then girlfriend at the time bought me tickets. She didn't want to go. She bought me a ticket. And it was the same theater where I saw Steve Perry, Orpheum Theater. And Steve Aggeri was singing. And I'm going to tell you, I went to go see that tour basically because the girl bought the ticket and spent the money. She didn't want to go. I went by myself. It was really weird. I went by myself. And I felt like I was cheating on Steve the whole time. It felt really strange. Like, who's this guy singing Steve's songs? It just didn't feel right.
Help me out. You're more, obviously, you're well-versed with Journey trivia. Didn't they
find A little too much.
Didn't they find him at the Gap store?
Now, see, now here's, he was working as a manager at a Gap in New York City, but didn't find him there. He was actually a well-known singer. He was in a band called Taiketto.
Okay.
And which wasn't like, it was a Journey like band, but they didn't have the fame of Journey. They recorded an album, they released it. You ain't going to make a living off of this. So I got to go work at the Gap, you know? And so when Neil Sean and company called him, he was folding jeans at the Gap. And he's like, yeah, the hell with this. I'm going to go on tour with Journey. The only problem with Steve Aggeri is that Neil Sean is a very demanding performer. He wants to play 5, 6, 7 nights a week. In the 80s, Steve Perry would do 8 nights in a row. I can't imagine singing this material 8 nights in a row.
Wow.
And he tried to do that to Steve Aggeri, and Steve Aggeri ended up losing his voice. And instead of saying, hey, I need a break, he kept pushing it. And eventually he lost it completely, and they had to replace him. And that's the thing about this catalog. If you're going to sing this music, you've got to be respectful of what it'll do to your voice. You have to, like, when I'm done singing, I tend to shut up. You know, the next day you won't hear me. Like, Friday I'm going to perform in Black Mountain. All day Saturday I won't say a word until I see you. You know what I mean? Like, I'll be quiet for a good 20 hours before I have to use my voice, because I got to use it to entertain the people on Saturday. Funny for me is, like, I always feel like I sing better the second night. So, like, in Black Mountain, they're going to get my so-so voice, and on Saturday they're going to get the real deal, you know? So I'll be all ready for you.
Yeah, that the man on the street question I'm going to ask you right now.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
If you have the opportunity to sing with the real band Journey, would you do it?
Would I do it? Is that the question? Oh, my God, yes. Of course. Of course I would. You'd have to be dumb not to. I mean, even if it's just one time, it'd be like, okay, here I am. That's Neil Sean. That's Jonathan Cain. Oh, my God. I can't believe I'm on stage with Journey. And, you know, hearing my voice over the top of their keys and guitar. Wow. That's just a fantasy. Now, I mean, joining Journey, yeah. I mean, what a great payday that would be. I mean, what a great job. You know what I mean? You're going to make some good money being the lead singer of Journey. So why wouldn't you do that? The only thing I would be really worried about would be, you know, vocal burnout, because I've seen so many people lose their voice working for that band. I'd be like, I don't want to be the next guy who can't sing, you know? So that would be my only concern. But, you know, it comes with the job. If you're going to do the job, you got to take that risk, I guess. But
yeah, I'm just as
happy working with my band. I'd be honest with you. I make a decent living. I do what I love. I only got to perform at most three nights in a row. I mean, we have a couple of Thursday, Friday, Saturdays coming up in the future. I'll be careful. I'll make sure not to overdo it. But I don't have to extend myself. I'm not a millionaire, but I mean, the lights are on and I'm happy, and I love the people I work with. So, I mean, and I get to meet people like you, Dave. I mean, honestly, we've known each other now for a year, and we're like, I mean, I'm closer to you than some people I've known my whole life.
Well, same here.
Yeah, it's great.
Richard has a comment that when he saw Journey of the Escape Tour in Greensboro Coliseum.
1981.
You say he saw the Escape Tour in Greensboro. It says 1987. That is, but
no. Radio,
that was later. No. It wasn't the
Escape 80, Tour. 87 would be Raised on Radio.
Yeah. Randy Jackson was playing bass guitar. Yeah. Steve Perry was hit by a beer bottle thrown by a fan while in the sky. He stopped the show, and the fans escorted the perpetrator out of the Coliseum. How about that?
Yeah. In fact, that actually happened also in 1983 on the Frontier Store. Someone threw a bottle, and it hit Neil Sean, and Steve went off. Like, get your ass down here. We're going to kick the shit out of you. I mean, really went off on stage, and fortunately security took care of it. But you know, I've been very fortunate. I've never had anything like that happen to me. It is a worry. It is a concern. The worst thing that's been thrown at me is ladies' undergarments, and those don't bruise as much. Yeah, so I've been fortunate, but it's a real concern. It really is. I mean, you're up there. Out in the open, they have cans and bottles. They could chuck them at you. And I don't know. I chalk it up to my rapport with the audience. I try to treat them as part of the band. We need them as much as they think they need us. It's symbiotic. Their energy makes us perform better. And the more we perform better, the more they get excited. And it just keeps building and building and building until at the end of the night, you're like, whew, wow, that was something. You know, it's ethereal. It really is.
Yeah, I was just thinking about the Blues Brothers. Maybe we should just put some chicken wire in. I'll ask Mark.
We got both kinds of music, country and Western.
That's right. So we'll make sure we'll put some chicken wire up for you.
Yeah.
Roadhouse. Hopefully
we won't need that.
No. I doubt. People like Richard Allsbrook that I know very well, I seriously doubt Richard is going to be throwing beer bottles at you. He definitely would love to meet you, I'm sure. And I know that I want to tell fans that you're going to be, after the show, you're going to do a meet and greet with people.
Yeah. I'll have t-shirts if anybody wants to buy a t-shirt. But if you don't need to buy a t-shirt, come on down, get a photo with the band, say hello. We'll shake your hand, take photo with you, and talk with you if you want to talk with us. We're just so grateful that you came out to the show and wanted to be a part of the night, you know? And again, I usually have stuff that I give away too, but it's more about saying hello and thank you. So at the end of the show, we usually line up at the bottom of the stage. We come off the stage and stand in front of it. And you come up to the band member you want to talk to and talk to them. And you want to talk to us all, we'll all be there until the last person has had their time with us. And that's what it's about. I mean, if you don't appreciate the people that give you the reason why you do this, then you're in the wrong business.
That's very true. I asked that very thought. Taylor Swift, when she was on my show, when I was doing country radio, she said that's what I signed up for. She was talking about that when she was first, summer of 2007. She said, when you get in the, paraphrasing her, but basically when you get in the business, you know that that's part of it, is to have that like fan interaction. I think she does a great job, certainly. As far as me with the band, I would say definitely 1981 is when I really fell in love with Journey. And then what's great about Journey is when you're a kid from the 80s, you start listening to the 70s Journey, and you're going, wow, there's a lot of great records. And that's one thing.
It's two different bands, isn't it? It's almost two different bands.
Yeah. And it's funny because when you listen to Journey and you think about, oh, I know that, you know, the band, but then when getting ready for the show, I listen to Journey a lot, you know, right now, because we got the show on Saturday night at the State Theater, and I'm going, I can't believe how many songs Journey had, like, over the time. It's so many songs you could sing for. I know you guys probably could. How many hours could y'all do if you
Our longest show is 2 hours and 45 minutes. That's the longest show. And that's not repeating a song. And that would be playing every song that we've learned. And, you know, sometimes, you know, you got to do that show for the diehard fans. You know, when you get a crowded room and they just don't want you to leave, you dig in deep and you do Still They Ride and Mother Father and maybe Line of Fire and Where Were You off the Departure record, you know, and you show them that you're actually a fan of the music because, you know, you don't learn this stuff unless you love it. Everybody can learn the hits, but, you know, you start digging into the catalog. One of my favorite songs is Still They Ride. I hope we'll do that this weekend. I'm looking forward to playing that one. We just recently brought it back into the catalog and the show, and everybody's like, why are we doing this song? I'm like, watch, you'll see. And like, we did it the very first time, and like, the audience was mesmerized. I was like, that's why we do this song. This song speaks to people, you know, talks about the way things used to be, you know, and we all miss the way things used to be. And, you know, still we ride, you know, we're still out there. We're still doing this, you know, even though it may not be the way that people do things nowadays, there's still some people out there living that life, you know, and they miss it and they want it and they see someone doing it and they're like, I want that, you know, and they connect to it. And so that's what's great about this music. This music speaks to the heart of people. It connects to the memories. It connects to a time where they felt maybe freer and more alive. And in those moments during our shows, I can see it in their eyes. They're alive and they're happy. And that's the payoff for me. I mean, what do I do for a living? I help people come back to life. Well, and they pay me for it. Okay. All right. Sure. I mean, it's great. It's a wonderful gig. And I'll never take it for granted. I tell everybody the first show, every show is the first and last show. It's the first show I ever played. It's the last show I'll ever play. Because you never know how long you get to do this. So the moment you start going, oh, it's just another show, that's when you're done. You need to get off the stage. Because the stage is a very honorable place. And a lot of people don't understand this. You get the honor of taking the stage. You get that stage for X amount of time, and you've got to do something with it. And it's magical. It really is. So every show is my first show and possibly my last show. And I'm gonna swing so hard that if I connect with that ball, it's going over the fence, man. It's going over the fence. And afterwards, I know I did my job when people go, man, you sound so much like Steve Perry. It's crazy. And I go, you're crazy. I don't sound like Steve Perry. There's only one Steve Perry. But, you know, it's wonderful.
Yeah, it is. And I want to remind fans, too, you're actually – doing the dive bar tour right now.
I created that idea because, see, we were highfalutin for a while there. We used to play all the Live Nation venues. And for some strange reason, COVID-19 ruined Live Nation. They really took COVID-19 really hard because they couldn't have shows. And they own big buildings or they rent big buildings. And so what happens is they had to keep paying the rent, but they weren't making any money. So COVID really hit Live Nation pretty hard. And so when they could have shows, they offered us a show at our favorite venue, which is the Charlotte Fillmore. And we used to put 2,500 people in there.
Wow.
And I mean, it was sardines, man. And like you'd say, hey, sing it. And they would sing it. You could feel the air from them singing hit you. It was crazy. It was so much fun. And I got the honor of playing there for 14 shows. And our 15th show, they wanted to change the way things were done. Basically, they used to give away a bunch of tickets. It's called papering the town. They give away tickets with the hopes that people will come and buy beer and food and liquor and all that. And that's how they make their money. Well, this time they wanted us to sell tickets. And it was still very COVID times. So like people were not feeling the idea of getting into a room with 2,000 people.
Right.
So we only sold like 100 tickets. And so they're like, well, I guess we're going to have to cancel this show. And that broke my heart because I had done 14 shows from them. And I did one in a parking lot during COVID, basically for free. And I thought we had a relationship there. And I don't want to go into it too much. I'm not upset. It's just, when you do so many shows with somebody, you think you're part of their family, and then all of a sudden they change gears and you're not a part of their gears anymore. And it's kind of heartbreaking. So I said, well, I got to shift gears now. COVID is not done yet, but okay, people are having shows. I got an idea. Let's do a tour where we'll play anywhere with electricity and an audience. That was my theme, electricity and an audience. And so all these places I had been turning down because I was I don't want to say too good for me, because I wasn't too good for him. I just was playing better places. But this was my opportunity to say yes to any place that ever wanted to have Trial by Fire. And so I just said yes constantly. And Tony was coming, our drummer was coming out of Wilmington. So I was like, if this guy's coming out of Wilmington, I want to play every Friday and Saturday. So that way it's worth his travel. That's a long trip out of Wilmington. And so it just sort of worked out that, like, okay, so we're going to play a lot and Tony's going to make enough money to make it worth his while. So, like, I just said, okay, so I'll play any dive bar that will have us. And then all of a sudden that stuck. It's the dive bar tour, but we're playing the State Theater. So, I mean, we're just going to have to turn the State Theater into a dive bar this weekend. That's what we're going to have to do. And the great thing about a dive bar is that's where everybody can be comfortable, right?
Yeah.
No highfalutin. Just show up and have a good time. Drink some beers and sing along. You know, you're a part of the family. That's what I like about the dive bar tour. I'm going to come out and hug everybody if they let me, you know?
No doubt. In fact, next year for 2023, is it Under the Big Top?
Yeah, I've been kicking that around. I, like, you know, for like 2023, I was like, what do you do after the dive bar tour? And I thought, you know, my favorite Journey song to perform is Faith Loop, because it gets such a reaction. I mean, you just hear that piano part start and you can hear people physically react to it. And, like, just talking about it, I mean, I just tear up. I don't know why. It's the funniest thing. It's like, the emotional connection to this music and the audience is overwhelming at times. It really is. And I'll say, you know, I'll sing that first line, Highway Run, and you could hear them sing with you. And you're like, they know this. Like, I know it. You know, like, this isn't like some song they got to learn. They know it's ingrained in their DNA. And one of the lines is Circus Life, Under the Big Top World.
Yeah.
And so my original idea was like, oh, let's do the Circus Life tour. And I'm like, Circus Life, maybe they won't catch that. I'm like, it also doesn't say much, just Circus Life. I'm like, you know something? How about, like, you know, the opposite of the dive bar tour would be, let's play the Big Top. You know, let's go for the big room, you know? So my hope is in 2003, we can play more theaters like the State Theater. That's sort of my goal. And so that tour would be Under the Big Top, you know, and it would have like a circus theme. I've even gotten like this idea of like having like that circus music play before we get on stage.
Oh yeah.
And then it gets kind of like out of tune and kind of dark, and then we go into like separate ways. You know, it'd be kind of cool. I just kind of play into the theme a little bit, you know. It's fun to put these little elements together, because then you sell merch based on it, t-shirts and stuff, stickers and things. It gives people a connection to the year. You know, every year it seems to be a different tour, and I like to put a different spin on it. Before, I didn't do that. It was just Trial by Fire. Here we go. You know, and so I'm like, well, I like this idea of having a theme. It makes it special in a way. It stands out. It only lasts for a year, and if you don't get in on it, you missed out. You know, so that's my thing.
Yeah, if we have you back next, when we have you back next year, we'll ask Mark if we can have the elephants and the clowns.
Bring them in.
Have you ever played with them? You're going to be upstaged by the animals.
I was going to say, I've never been upstaged by an elephant before, but sounds like a good animal to get upstaged by.
No doubt about it. Do you have you said, so Faithfully is your favorite Journey song?
It's my favorite one to perform. I've always had a connection to it. It's just such a great song. And you know, it has that part at the end where the audience sings along and they all wave their arms back and forth. And if you know the music video, you know, I always tell people that it's the windshield wiper of the bus. You know, they do the, you know, let's see if I can do it here. They go back and forth with their arms while they, whoa, whoa, you know, that part. They all sing along and it's wonderful. And then usually at the end of the song, I have the audience sing that part again, just themselves, and hearing them take over. It's just, it's overwhelming. Just really is. I mean, I remember the first time we played a show in Springfield, Ohio for 8,000 people. And we got to Faithfully and we got to that part and they just started singing. And I was like, I ain't going to make it through this. I'm not prepared for this. I mean, if you've never stood on a stage in front of 8,000 people that were engaged in singing along, it's overwhelming. It really is. And, I was like, I got to hold it together because I got a job to do. And so I don't know. I can't say I held it together 100%, but I did my best, you know. But that was a moment for me. Like, I'm like, all right, if this is the last show, I've done it. I've sung faithfully on stage in front of 8,000 people, and they're singing back, you know. And when they're singing back, that means the world to a band, because we know you're engaged then. We know you've bought into the idea that this is a journey show, and you're invested, you know. You get it, and you love it. And that's the best thing you can do to a band like us is to engage the band, you know, by singing along and being a part of the show.
What's the biggest crowd you ever, is that the biggest crowd you ever perform?
I think that was the biggest one for me. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, next biggest, excuse me. Next biggest crowd indoors was, we played once in Raleigh for like 5,000 people. And then typically at the Fillmore, we'd always put 2,500 people in there. In a building, that's a lot of people. That one time in Ohio, we weren't even expected to be the band that played that show. Again, I don't want to go off on too many tangents, but the band that our new drummer is from was supposed to play that show.
Oh, Frontiers.
Frontiers were supposed to play that show, and the singer lost his voice. Again, this catalog is very hard to sing. You got to be very careful. He lost his voice, and their guitar player, Frontiers guitar player, reached out to me and said, would you be willing to play the show for us? And I said, honored, sure. And so we were the fill-in band. We were the fill-in journey band, and we brought it. You know, we brought it, and it was a memory. And I still have a photo of me standing in front of that audience. Like, wow, like, who am I to be here? So it was a great moment. You know, and it was a good chance for us to prove ourselves as a good band.
One of our regular viewers and listeners, I told you about this guy. I can't wait for you to meet he and his wife. Mm-hmm. I don't think they've done anything because of COVID. But how about this? Johnny Robertson is a guy that I want you to meet on Saturday night. He's coming, his wife. He said, I'm really looking forward to Saturday night. I missed y'all last year at my home venue, the Tally Ho in Leesburg, Virginia. My wife watched the video and said that she would have thought that she was actually listening to Journey and their heyday. Huge compliment there, my friend.
There is no bigger compliment. Thank you. Thank you to Johnny and his wife. Thank you so much. We love the Tally Ho Theater in Leesburg. We play there twice a year. That's where our video, the concert video I think you referenced earlier, is from. Our new drummer, Chris Castaldo, listened to that video. That's what we send people, you know, like if they want to like learn the set, you know, we have fill-in people or anybody. But Chris Castaldo listened to that video, and he's like, are you guys running tracks? I'm like, no. He goes, are you guys running a click track? Now, I don't know if you know what any of this is, but a click track is typically you have these in-ear monitors. I kind of have one in right now. A click track, it's basically just click, 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 and it just keeps repeating the tempo of the song so everybody stays in line. It keeps the band in time. Oh, even if the drummer's off, you've got this constant metronome, click, 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 click. I can't stand it because I want to have fun. And when you got a click in your head, it kind of takes the fun away. We change tempo constantly, but on purpose. Like okay, we're at 120. Let's take it down to 80 and see what happens. You know, it's just the joy of live music. So when Chris said all this stuff, and I kept saying no, he goes, are any of the vocals pre-recorded? Are those all backing tracks? I'm like, no. He's like, how are you doing that? And I'm like, is live music? It's a thing we created a long time ago and we're doing that. And he's like, man, this is gonna be fun. And I'm like, yeah, that's exactly it. It's fun, it's live, it's trapeze, it's circus without a net. You know, you fall, you fall. I've messed up, man. I'll tell you quickly, real fast. I remember I used to have the audience sing the first couple of lines of Don't Stop Believing. I'd say, Justa, and they'd say, small town girl living in lonely world, midnight train. And I go, Justa, and they go, Justa City Boy. My drummer at the time, he's like, you know, they pay to hear you sing it. Do you think you could sing it tonight? I'm like, yeah, all right, that's fair criticism. I can sing it. So I get up there. I do the whole show. We get to Don't Stop Believing. I forgot the words. I said, just a city boy instead of just a small town girl. And I just held my hand up. Everybody stopped. I said, my bad. I messed up. I haven't sang this song in a long time. I usually let y'all sing it, and I messed it up. So we're going to try it again. And then we started over, and I got it right. And guess what? The audience respects that. They see you as being, you know, honest and fair. You're not faking it. You're not cheating them. They're getting a real live product. And that means a lot to people, you know? I see a lot of bands up there, they have like these iPads with the lyrics in front of them. You're not paying to see somebody stare at an iPad. You're paying to see somebody stare at you. You want them to look in, you want the band, the singer to look into your eyes and connect with you and say, just a small town girl, just like you. You're the small town girl I'm talking about. And she'll go home like, he was singing to me. And that's a big deal. Or I could stare at an iPad and make sure I get the lyrics right. You know, so live music, man, it's a dying breed. But I if I could say anything to bands, learn your material. If you mess up, you mess up. Connect with the audience. Give them what they pay for. It's a moment. It's an experience with you. That's what they want.
Artie, it's almost like that somebody's singing karaoke, right? When you
have the lyrics yeah. right there. I don't yeah. know. It's exactly it. It's karaoke. 100%. You nailed it. And that's it.
And no disrespect to performers because I'm not a singer. I'm a music guy.
Some people do it. Some people do it. Like to me, if I was like that guy who plays acoustic guitar and has to like do requests of songs I don't ever play, oh man, I'd be begging for an iPad. You know, like I probably can fake my way through Brown Eyed Girl, but I would hate to have to do it from memory. You know, I haven't sang that song in 20 years. So, you know, there's reasons and there's good uses for it. But on the stage of something like the State Theater, where people are paying $15-$25 to see the show, tribute band to Journey, they don't want to see iPads. They want to see a guy who knows the words. And if he doesn't know the words, he's going to own up to it and say, hey, I made a mistake. Let's start over because you deserve the best version of this song and we're going to give you that. So that's live music. It happens.
And that's part of like, just like when all the years I've been a part of community theater. Theater is great because you have that. I think what I was going to tell you earlier, the great thing I like about you guys, the connection that you make with the audience. You know, when watching you, it was obvious, like with watching that performance at the Tally Ho in Leesburg. If you get a chance, don't take my word how great Ernie's voice is and how great the band is. You can go and see that on YouTube. Just you can search Trial by Fire and it'll pop right up and you watch it and you're watching on. I have right behind me here a 65-inch TV. That Saturday night was beautiful. Like I had Trial by Fire coming into my living room, you know, and. Mm. And just see a separate way. Like I tell you, this is a true story. I'll tell you. Mm-hmm. So I used to love the band. You'll understand where I'm going with this in a second.
Sure. Yeah.
I used to love the band Men at Work. Mm-hmm. Obviously I love Journey around that same time. Right. They're both on the same label, Columbia.
Yeah. Colin Hay.
Yeah.
Lead singer, Colin Hay. Yeah. Great voice. Great songwriter.
So I buy the Business as Usual album thinking that I'm getting the cassette, thinking I'm getting Business as Usual. Instead, all of a sudden, I turn on the cassette and listen. All of a sudden, I was like, that's not Men at Work. It was actually Journey, and I'm hearing Separate Ways. And it was just one of the most bizarre. They had the wrong.
They misprint. It was a misprint.
It was, you know, you have the artwork or the little cassette, and you see Business as Usual. It says Business as Usual on the actual cassette, but it's Journey.
But they misprinted. Song, they misprinted the Frontiers record. That's amazing.
The Frontiers record, and I love that. I have always loved Separate Ways, and maybe that's sentimental because of that mistake that was made.
Yeah, yeah. It's ingrained in your brain forever, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a constant memory of like mistake some dude probably on a Friday or Monday.
Up, he wanted to go home.
Hungover from water to the dive bar.
yeah, that's right. He wanted to go home. He was ready to go to the dive bar, and he had to do a few more cassettes. And you got the mistake. So that's cool. Yeah,
but that's cool. But that song. Every time I hear that song, I think about. So on Saturday night, when I tell you what, you guys on just every single band member, if you want to give them a shout out. Also, I want to let everybody know that we're having our birthday party, right, Ernie? Before.
Yeah. When's yours? Is yours on the 14th?
Thursday. Yeah.
Yeah, mine's on Monday, the 18th. So we're going to split the difference and do it on the 16th, right?
That's right. A good compromise.
I like it.
Especially on a weekend. Everybody, more people can. It's the biggest birthday party I've ever had.
I'm down, man. I try to always have a show around my birthday because to me, that's the best way to celebrate. A few years ago on my birthday, we got to open for Bret Michaels from Poison.
Oh, man.
And that was awesome. I mean, that was awesome. I mean, he gave us a an hour to do our songs, and we did, you know, Journey's best tight hour. And then he came out and did his set. And then afterwards, he had his people find me and invite me up on the bus to hang out. So I got the invite. I went for it, and I hung out with Brett Michaels. And Brett Michaels gave me some of the best compliments I've ever heard from somebody of his level. He's like, man, when you were on that stage, I closed my eyes, man. I thought for sure that was Steve Perry up there. That's amazing. He's one of my heroes. So I feel like I get to see one of my heroes sing tonight. And I'm like, I don't even know what to say, Brett. You know, I mean, such a nice guy, such a wonderful guy. And you think people like that wouldn't be so nice, but he was just a regular guy. And it was fun. And it was my birthday. And I'm like, I'll remember that one forever. You know, that's a great one. You know, so I always look to have a show on my birthday, because one of the happiest places for me is being on stage, singing these songs I love for people who enjoy them. What else could you do for your birthday? You know?
No doubt. It's
a great time.
Are you in the mood like I am? I'm in a giving mood to give away some tickets, Ernie.
Let's give away some tickets. That's a great idea. Let's do that.
Yeah, we'll give away some tickets. So if you want to go to the show, then hit us up here in the comments or Facebook or YouTube. We'd love to have you on Saturday night. And by the way, you can get your tickets very easily. You can just go to statetheaternc.com. And Ernie, you know, I was telling people this show, we're trying to do, you and I are trying to keep it fan friendly with the prices, because inflation's up, gas prices are up.
So these are great prices for this show. I mean, I'm amazed at how great these prices are. I mean, you've done a great job doing that. I mean, with gas prices and everything, people can't afford a show. They can't afford anything. I mean, you've done a great job at keeping these prices, below the average. So, I mean, my hat's off to you. Let's do that. My hat's off to you. And, I mean, if you're going to see a show, this is a great place. I mean, was it standing room? In advance is $10, if I'm correct. And yes. What's the balcony? Remind me of the balcony price.
$10 in advance and $25. In fact, those seats are going fast, my friend, as we're recording.
Hey, you know, Journey fans are getting older, and we want to sit down. You know, we don't want to stand up. So I can see why those are going fast. But guess what? Down front is where the real party is. So, you know, you don't even have to pay that much money, and you can get down front and be a part of the face-to-face show, you know, where we're looking right at you. So, you know, get those tickets, you know, and save some money on your gas price. You know, you can put that extra money into your tank.
That's right, because I'll tell you what, it seems like gas prices, hopefully they're going to, like, level out here. But
yeah, they seem to be leveling off a little bit. I mean, hell, I mean, I'm driving 4 hours to come see you on Saturday, and I drive an FJ Cruiser, man. I don't know if you know what that is. It's a Toyota tank. And basically, you know, I get 300 miles to the fill up. So I'm going to have to stop off a couple of times, you know, just to get there. So, but it'll be worth it. It'll be worth it. I'll arrive in comfort. But gas prices.
One of our co-hosts here he's chiming in on YouTube tonight, our good friend, Bubba Rosenbaum. He put together our
promo Bubba.
Video. So I want to
get Hey, Bubba.
He said, what are some of your favorite venues you played?
You know, the cop out answer is any venue that has a great audience, because honestly, you can play a beautiful theater, but without that responsive audience, it's practice. You know, you're up there on stage waiting for it to end, because really this only works when you're bouncing it off somebody who wants it. It's like tennis. You hit the ball, they hit it back. You hit the ball, they hit it back. That's the energy. You play a venue where they're playing with their phones and wishing they were somewhere else, 2 hours seems to take forever. I do have some venues I love, and we always have great audiences at them. The Beacon Theater in Hopewell, Virginia, if you've never been there, such a beautiful theater. I have a thing for the color red, and the seats are all red. So like when I do sound check, I can see all the red empty seats, and I'm like, I like this place. And they always treat us like we're like Journey. It's ridiculous. They feed us. They whatever we need. I almost feel guilty playing there. And then the Elevation 27 in Virginia Beach is a great venue. It's more of a rock venue. It's not a theater. But the owner, Bill Reed, has been in music production his whole life. He's actually hired Journey to play in Virginia Beach. And I finished a show one time, and he cornered. He's a towering man. He's like 6'5", like 300 pounds. And he cornered me, and I always feel like I'm a big guy, but I felt very small next to Bill. The guy's a giant in the industry and a giant human being. And he put his big old hand on my shoulder, and he said, kid, you did good. You sound just like Steve tonight. Oh my God, I love your band. Like, what more do you need? I mean, this guy's been doing this his whole life. He's hired Journey. And then he went, Journey has so many great songs. Oh my God, you guys were playing for hours and you never repeat a song and every song was a hit. And oh my God, I just love having you guys here. I'm like, that's what you want from a venue. You want them to tell you that they love you and that you did a good job and they love having you. And man, both of those venues do a great job at that. And then sometimes we play a venue where like we get the feeling they don't want to have us back, but they keep calling us. But it's really weird. Like you show up and they're like, all right. Oh, you know, it's just people. Sometimes it's the business. But, you know, I play every venue like it's my favorite. But those two do stick out. And the Tally Ho Theater is a beautiful place. Those guys are wonderful to us as well. I really don't have a bad venue on our list. If you go to our website and you click on the tour tab, every single one of those dive bars are awesome. I love them all. But those three do stick out. And hopefully this weekend, my very first time at the State Theater, I can add the State Theater to the list. I hear it's an amazing venue, so I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear your vocals. The band sounds great. I know the crowd is going to be great, like we had last month with Slippery When Wet. A Bon Jovi tribute, and we're going to have you guys, and hopefully we can have you guys back. Love to have you back next year as well. So a year, once a year kind of thing.
David, anytime you want us, we'll come. We're honored you asked us for this first time. We hope that people turn out to hang out with us. We want to meet each and everyone who buys the ticket. It's a very special time for us. And the more the merrier is the saying. So, you know, bring your Easter basket and your candy. And I think I'm going to have some chocolates I'm going to give away too. So we're going to try to go with the Easter theme and, you know, make it worth everyone's while.
Hey, if I have to dress up as the Easter bunny to get people to come.
Don't offer. Don't do it.
I'll do it.
I will hold you to it, David. I'll do it.
That's what I'll rent
the costume myself if I got.
Hey, I have been in front of the biggest crowd I've ever been in front of is 40,000 people.
Oh, you got me beat, buddy. You got me beat. I don't know about 40,000. Wow.
Yeah, it was called Last of the Breed Tour. It was Merle Haggard, Ray Price, and Willie Nelson. Unbelievable show in a town called Roanoke Rapids, north of here. And they had an amphitheater, kind of makeshift amphitheater. And my boss didn't want to be, I was working at 98.5, the Big Dog in Rocky Mount. He didn't want to do it. He said, I'll give you $150. He said, I'll give you VIP seats.
You would have did that for free.
Yeah. And it got to be on stage with those guys. Are you kidding me? Merle Haggard, yeah. Ray Price, and Willie Nelson. And literally I walked on stage.
That's real country. That's what that is.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Yeah.
And I got a chance.
I'm probably the only person who knows who Ray Price is. I know Ray Price.
Yeah, Bubba's chiming in, by the way.
Oh, yeah, what's Bubba got to say?
He says, please do. He wants me to be an Easter bunny, so.
See? It's getting traction, buddy. See, you be careful what you say. It's going to happen now.
Yeah, exactly. I put it into existence.
Well, don't speak it into the universe if you don't want to do it.
That's right. I don't mind. If that's what it takes for us to have a great time on Saturday night, I'll do it. And by the way, I know you have a hockey game you're watching.
Third period, Bruins are down 3-2. We can only hope that they can pull it out in the third period. I don't understand why the Bruins play these teams like the Blues, one of the worst teams in the league. But every time the worst team in the league plays the Bruins, their goalie has the best night of their life. I don't understand why. It just seems to be the Bruins' curse. They never kill anybody. They always are behind by one goal. And if they win, they squeak it out in overtime. So that's Boston Bruins hockey for you. I got the third period about to happen. So I'm excited to be on your show, but I'm also excited to leave your show.
By the way, one final comment. She can't. Yeah, make please. It. She's got family coming. Becky.
Oh, Wilder. Becky.
She has a costume that I can use for that.
Becky, bring the family. Bring the family to the show so you can see David dressed up in your costume. Please.
I'll do it.
It'd be awesome.
Well, we'll have to talk more about. We talked a lot about music, but looking forward to the great show on Saturday night. Yeah. Thank you so much. I'm honored that you guys will come and be a part.
We're gonna have a great time. Theater. It's gonna be a wonderful time. It's gonna be an event that you don't want to miss. So if you're thinking about coming, stop thinking and get your tickets.
I tell you, how many tickets do you need sold for me to be in the Easter Bunny costume?
If I want, but if we could sell 10 more tickets, you're in the costume. That's what I'm saying. 10 more right. tickets. David's in the, and you got to introduce the band in the costume. You got to come out.
I will do it, dude.
I know you will. I know you will. That's why I love you. You're fantastic. You'll do anything for the show.
No doubt.
I, on the other hand, will not be wearing an Easter Bunny costume on Saturday.
I'll let you do your thing. I'll let you be the rock star. I'll be the
Easter Bunny. Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Well, I hope you have a safe trip, obviously, to, I know Friday night, will you give out that shout out for our friends in the western part of the state real quick, and then we'll get you out.
Oh, we will. Oh, yeah, yeah. Friday night, we're going to be out at Black Mountain at Silverado's, our very first time out that way. It's up towards Asheville, North Carolina. Yep. And then we're going to jump in our vehicles and head on out to ECU for Greenville, North Carolina at the State Theater. Thanks to you, David. We're looking forward to seeing you. We're looking forward to a great evening and a great show.
Looking forward to it. And get your tickets once again. And you can do so by going to the State Theater's website. And you can Google that. Go to statetheaternc.com. Ernie, man, I'll let you get to the hockey game. And we'll see you on Saturday afternoon. Appreciate you, man, for everything. And we'll see you a Saturday afternoon.
My pleasure, brother. Thank you for having me.
All right. Sure thing.